Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. This is episode number... Prodcast? This is our podcast. This is new thing we're calling podcast.
You said prodcast.
Prodcast it up.
We're prodding.
We're prodding into the geek things. We're geeks. We're brothers. We come together and we talk about geeky things. This is episode number 33. We're recording on April 19th with my two brothers, Andrew and Christopher. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, Christopher.
Hello. Is it still morning?
It's afternoon now.
Afternoon. Good afternoon, boys. How's it going? How you been? Andrew, it's been so long since I've seen you. What's going on with you, dude?
I know, dude. It's been about, I don't know, what?
An hour?
18 hours? I was just over at your house, wasn't I?
I'm the old one.
It was an in-and-out.
Memory issues.
It was a quick hit.
You guys, they live like 2 miles from each other, maybe less.
Literally five minutes from each other.
Yeah, honestly. That's awesome.
I love living close.
So I'd like to dive right in because we got a lot to talk about today. This is going to be
No nonsense,
because I'm
the whip.
I'm excited about what we're gonna do here.
You're like the podcast. You're the host.
I know you're
driving the train.
I know that we have a lot
to catch up with my brother. That's all.
No, you just saw him. You don't need to catch up with him. That was useless.
Catch up with Andrew, dude.
There's a little bit of bitterness there.
That was useless podcasting jokery right there.
Patrick is not interested in like connecting with us, Andrew, on a brotherly level. He just wants to get at the shit.
I got stuff to do.
We got podcasting to do.
This is serious business here.
Serious business.
So now we're wasting time talking about how we should be podcasting.
You brought this on yourself.
Great.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so discussion topic.
I want to vamp and waste some more time because I'm doing it on purpose. Because, Patrick, you don't want to interact with me
on
a brotherly level.
If you didn't know, Chris is a little whiner. He's the oldest. The most mature.
We have so much to cover. Let's do this. Why are you saying it, Patrick? Come on, go.
Big time trailer discussion. There was a bunch of trailers that came out in the past couple weeks. Most notably this week was the Star Wars trailer and the Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice trailer finally dropped. But like, there's a couple of other smaller ones that we should probably start off with, like the Ant-Man trailer, and what was the other one, Christopher? Oh, Terminator Genesis.
The big reveal.
Big reveal. Huge
spoiler.
Spoiler! Why?
What were they thinking? Let's deal with that one first.
Okay.
I'm watching that. What?
Go ahead.
Should we spoil this for the people? Like, you gotta go watch the trailer.
We're not spoiling it. It's out.
No. It's totally true. Like, if you go watch the trailer,
we're letting it fly.
Yeah. There's a big red flag that John Connor has been turned into a Terminator. Holy crap.
Well, something. Yeah. Anyway, I'm watching that trailer, and I'm thinking, who greenlit this cut of a trailer when that he's the central freaking figure of the future, right?
Yeah.
And they show him, you know, he's like a weird, he's not the metal, liquid metal Terminator design. He's sort of a nanobot weird sort of Terminator design.
Some kind of new Terminator we haven't seen in any previous
movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
But he's clearly their adversary. Like, they show moments of him chasing them and, like, you know, they're all afraid of him and all this. So something...
And they talk about him, like...
The paradigm has shifted.
They talked about him, like, needing to be cured or something, or, like, we can still save John Connor kind of
thing.
We
can still,
like,
save him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But is that... We can still save him because of time travel? Or we can still save him... To reverse a process in their timeline.
Right. That's how I took it. I took that, it as, yeah, like, they need to stop some kind of thing that's going to happen to him.
They
or, like...
stop some kind of eventuality, yeah.
Right, right. That's,
but,
you know...
Well, if
reaction...
But that's a time travel thing. If they prevent Skynet, and they prevent all everything else, that's not going to happen to John.
Who knows what they have to prevent, but...
Well, is
it's just...
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I had much the same reaction Christopher did in terms of why would they... This is the second trailer that they've released for this movie, and the first trailer did the job well enough. It kind of established there's a new dynamic that's going on. Sarah Connor has been raised by a Terminator. Like, they're readjusting the timeline. It's a full reboot. Like, you get that from the trailer. It's going to be a different universe, different timeline, different series of events. Things are different than the previous three movies. That's totally established by the trailer, and that does a perfect job for me in terms of piquing my interest in this movie. The fact that they release a new trailer, which is, you know, 80% of the same crap, and then they throw in this big, huge spoiler about John Connor is now some kind of machine human thing that is pursuing them,
I mean,
that's son.
A humongous
What's the
change.
Point of humongous change? But I'm not even worried about the fact that it's a huge change. I'm worried about the fact that they put this in the trailer. Why would they give me this information?
No, that's the whole point, dude, because they teed it up perfectly with the reset of the time. They emphasizing that there are no new ideas in Hollywood. They saw how effective it was in the Star Trek movies, and they're like, we can do that. We deal with time travel. This is how we can breathe new life into the series by, at a seminal moment in the original movie's timeline, we alter everything. And when you alter everything, you've got a whole new Back to the Future timeline, right? And you can tell all new stories because it's all different now. You're not all of that can be canon for Terminator, and now this is new canon for Terminator, right?
And so they did that perfectly in the previous trailer, but in this one, they put into the trailer like a core thing that is like that should have been a moment in the movie. It's like holy shit! But no, they put it
serious,
in
dude. That would have been the best. That would have been the best holy shit moment when you're sitting in the theater, like John Connor's the villain.
Would've.
Holy crap! This is crazy.
Right.
I don't get
that's exactly right.
Everything is turned on its head because John Connor's always been like the hero of the series, kind of a thing. And
he's the big mythological
right
kind of
the
icon
hope for humanity show. He's the hope for humanity, and and that was just so dumb. Whoever decided
so
to
dumb.
Do that, they failed at
so
at,
dumb.
Yeah,
they totally misread what fans of a franchise actually want,
right?
I think
People
don't want a trailer that piques their interest, that gets them excited about the movie, but doesn't give away too much. Because you want to go see the damn movie. You want to spend the $12 and go sit in a theater for 2 hours. That's what you want to do. The trailer gets the 90 seconds or 2 minutes of trailer. It's supposed to get you into the theater in an excited way.
Yes.
And they totally boned that.
Totally.
I'm less excited for this movie now because of this trailer, honestly. I'll admit it. I'm less excited.
So
we're going to go see it?
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to go see it. Adria was so over the moon, like, pumped after this trailer, which quite makes me question her judgment in many ways. The fact that she was like, this movie looks so good. I'm like, okay, it looks good, but they just gave away a huge part of the plot that they didn't have to. Poor choices in my opinion. I'm still going to go see it.
Now, because of this trailer, I am going to see the Rotten Tomatoes reviews before I commit to going to see it opening weekend. Like, I'm going to... Okay. There's a hesitation now. It's like, this could be crap now. Okay. Because they chose to show that. So, that's my only thing. It's like, now I'll wait to see what the initial reviews are. So, let's move on to the Ant-Man trailer.
Well,
because,
I gotta say, I was skeptical of it already.
Yeah.
Because of old guy Schwarzenegger.
Right? Schwarzenegger, for sure.
Old guy Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Well, he's a Terminator that's aging? What is that? Like,
Well, part of the plot of the movie is that he gets sent back to kill Sarah Connor when she's a girl.
Yeah.
And then he raises her. So he's like a Terminator that's been with her for like 20 years.
Yeah, but he's
and
a robot.
Another Terminator.
Yeah, but he's a robot. Why is he aging?
Because he still has the living outer part. That's what a cyborg is. He has the living outer part over the combat chassis. That part.
So the skin, and the hair and all that is still aging, but he's still a robot on the inside.
Exactly.
Well, that's dumb.
That's the whole point of the Terminator, dude. It's the fact that he's an infiltration.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. He's a robot and he's getting older. Like, I don't know. That seems
a robot.
Well,
he's a cyborg.
Okay, he's a cyborg.
Living tissue over
endoskeleton. So I have
over endoskeleton.
I have to say,
we are nerds. Holy moly!
Holy moly!
Big time nerds.
I have to say, I was kind of skeptical about Ant-Man. I didn't know what it was going to be like. I didn't know. What kind of action there was going to be, because, like, he can turn tiny. Okay, that's cool. I didn't like the suit. I didn't like the outfit. It looked silly to me. But after this trailer, man, I am jacked up excited about this.
Totally agree.
This is how it should be.
But that trailer, that trailer sort of raised the floor on that. It's
Like,
okay, this looks like it could actually be something fun to watch.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I don't think it's gonna be good, but I think it's gonna be fun to watch for sure. Like it'll be Thor,
I think it's
level
Hulk level good.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I agree with you. I mean, it's not nearly at the top of my list of movies that I'll see, but I'll go see it. I mean, it looks like it definitely doesn't take itself too seriously, because it's, you know, because you can't take Ant-Man seriously.
There's going to be a train battle. There's going to be a battle on a train set. How serious can that be?
Yeah, you can't take it.
That's true.
Seriously. And Paul Rudd as like a superhero. I don't know.
No, he's extremely watchable, but his whole he's got like the Chris Pratt thing where it's like he's got the comedic timing, the cleverness. Chris Pratt,
it's a hilarious concept. It's a do a battle on a toy train set. That alone gets me wanting to watch that movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm super pumped about that. But,
it was a good trailer. And you know how they kind of they help conceptualize kind of what his powers will be when he's in the suit. You know how eventually Lily, she plays Janet Van Imp, who actually becomes the Wasp.
Was wondering if she was going to be the villain.
Like the bullet.
Yeah. Right.
No, she's Jan. She plays like. She's an associate of the guy who invents the
Alien. And then it looks like the Yellow Jacket is the big villain of
the villain.
Yeah. So that's cool. So, I'm into that.
It was a decent trailer. It was a much better trailer than Terminator Genesis in terms of getting me interested in the movie. So.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Well, let's go in the order that they came out. Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer. Is this a trailer or is this technically a teaser number two?
Because I think it's a teaser number two.
Teaser number two is technically what it is. It was released at the Star Wars celebration that happened this past weekend.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts, brothers? What do you What do you feel about this?
Do you want to take this? Do you want to kind of tee this up and tell us what you thought?
Well, as if you followed me on Twitter or saw the Brothers Geek Twitter feed, my reaction was one of losing my shit fandom.
Yeah.
It's hard to articulate for me, actually, because Star Wars resonates so deeply in me, you know, for those of us who are fans and those of us who are fans that are around my age, especially.
Yeah.
I'm 7 years old when Star Wars comes out. It's fucking life altering, right? So
it's like part of your boyhood.
It is wrapped up into my childhood. There is no question about it. I mean, there is no childhood memory of mine, you know, that does not involve some Star Wars. Almost no childhood memory of mine that doesn't involve Star Wars thing, figure, movie, whatever, right? So it's just and so this is why J.J. Abrams is a genius choice for doing this movie. Because he taps into that. This movie taps into new shit, what makes the Star Wars universe cool and awesome. And then the end of that teaser, the geek out moment of the end of that teaser is there has never been a teaser in my estimation that had that off, you know, spike the needle off the chart moment in a teaser like that. For me, it was the best moment of a teaser I have ever seen, where it's like, holy cow, tapping into that core of your being and memory. And wanting it to be so awesome, trusting that it's going to be so awesome, and just being so excited for it. So yeah, no, it was a Abrams is a fan, and he's an artist, and so those two things together put it into how can this movie not be good? How can this movie not be good in my mind? And that the teaser solidifies it because there's awesome, great future Star Wars moments, new exploration of that universe, but a callback to everything that we love about it. It was a great, great teaser. So I spiked hard when I watched it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Andrew, how many times have you watched this trailer?
At least 10.
Okay.
We were over at Dan and Brianna's house for a little birthday celebration for mom and dad last night, and we watched it twice just there on Daniel's big, you know, we pulled up the YouTube app on his smart TV and we watched it two or three times just there in the span of like 45 minutes.
I've watched it at least probably 15 times.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, 10 easily.
I pause it. Now I'm watching it and pausing it at certain moments.
We'll kind of break it down a little bit.
It down in a little. I had the same kind of emotional kind of react. And the trailer, it's a well-constructed trailer in terms of the artistry of it, too, because it builds and builds and builds, and you feel yourself kind of – you feel the emotion rising in you, you know, the music and the imagery, and it builds to a huge crescendo. And then there's this emotional kind of capper at the end that reveals Han Solo and Chewie. And you get this great shot of the two of them. And it's a joyous shot of the two of them because Han Solo, you know, doing his wry kind of like, you know, says to Chewie, "We're home." And I can tell that he's inside the Millennium Falcon.
I'm getting the sense that the Millennium Falcon has been like locked up or something, or like somewhere.
Part of the beginning of the movie is they find the Millennium Falcon again,
right?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's going to be,
and that's how they might encounter other characters.
Sure.
When they released it and I watched it online and I watched it on my phone and I got home later that day and I watched it on my TV with like my surround sound, you know, the HD version that they released on YouTube. What kind of has been plaguing my mind, and I'm so excited for this movie. I have a countdown on my phone that I check. I have no exactly how many days it is until this movie gets released.
What do we got? What do we got? How many days right now?
How
check
many
it.
Days right now? I'm checking my phone. I'm going to check the countdown.
Check the countdown. I want to know the level of geekdom. This is legitimate right now.
This is totally legitimate. The countdown app on my phone. Where is it? I just got an iPhone 6 yesterday, too.
So everything's all jumbled up. Great.
So everything's... I got to move it around. Okay. Until the Force Awakens.
Yeah.
243 days.
243 days from right now. Awesome.
Until the Force Awakens.
So yep. Amazing. Okay, yeah, so continue. Like, sorry.
Yeah. So I have a countdown on my phone. I'm very excited. Me being my generation, I never saw the original trilogy in the theater. I saw it on cable and I saw it on TV, you know, in VHS. And then
we got the VHS trilogy one Christmas. I don't know how old I was, probably around 8.
Yeah.
And so it was it was probably just after Return of the Jedi came out, and they released the first like trilogy set of it, and we got that for Christmas. So it was probably like late 80s, early 90s is when we got that. Yeah.
But my larger point being is that they did the re-release of like the special editions, which I got excited for, and I went to see the Santa Capri. But the trilogy that was like my trilogy that I was so excited for when they announced they were going to do episodes 1 through 3 and kind of the, you know, I think the first trilogy came out in 1997. So I was 15, 16 years old. And that felt, and I was, I've been a Star Wars fan my whole life. I played the games. I read comics. I read the books. I've seen the original trilogy countless times. And then I'm like, there's going to be a new trilogy and it's going to come out when I'm like, right at my geekiest kind of
right
in high school. And then the, you know, seeing the episode 1 trailer and being so excited about how the saga is going to continue, and you know, Anakin's a young boy, and you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi is young, and you've got Darth Maul with his two-bladed lightsaber that's freaking unbelievable, and you got shots of pod racing, and that trailer just, you're over the moon.
The Duel of the Fates trailer was like the greatest thing in the world.
Oh yeah,
like,
you're just
it was so
over the
great.
Moon
yeah.
excited for episode 1, and then episode 1 is a steaming pile of cow flop.
Yep.
Cow. It's like George Lucas
so let
took
me
shit on my childhood.
Let me back us up. Then are we super pumped about this because it's Star Wars, and then we're gonna be disappointed again? Is that what's gonna happen? Are you telling
me
that's
what's gonna resist that, dude?
Oh,
I was thinking about this. We got to embrace the hope.
Oh,
I am embracing my hope 100%.
We've already been like disappointed in the past. No, am I going to be disappointed again?
No cynicism.
No cynicism. No.
Star Wars.
Yes.
Does not
episodes
allow for
1
cynicism.
Through 3 are steaming piles of shit.
Oh.
But we have
you
to
hope.
I trust.
Yes.
I trust in the Star Wars.
I trust J.J. Abrams.
Vision.
Yes, that's exactly.
And
right.
I trust and I am really, if it was George Lucas again, I would be really cynical. Like,
yeah,
but
I agree with that
because I don't trust him anymore. He's not a good writer. He's not a good director. He never has been. He's a good story man. He's a good producer. But he's not a good director. I'm saying it now.
He fell in love so much with the quote-unquote digital revolution of filmmaking, where he's like, you can create entire scenes with actors in the backgrounds, and you can even put in digital characters, and you can tweak it.
It lost the character to it.
Stale.
Yeah,
and
stale.
I mean, and just... So, but I am overcoming all of that.
And J.J. Abrams is going so practical with this. I had no idea that BB-8 was like a practical droid. It's digital.
They constructed the soccer ball droid.
Yeah.
That is really a machine being operated in the
right.
scene.
There is an actuator and magnets. So it like stays on top and it like moves around. It's not special effects, like, or not computer effects. It's like built. I love that. I love that.
And it's not that there's going to every single, like, in the original trilogy, every clone trooper you saw was digital.
Yeah.
Every single one. That doesn't take his helmets off, and that's thousands of them.
Right.
So every single one is digital, so they're just in a computer. Yeah. And you don't have any kind of connect. Anyway, we could go on and on about the flaws.
Okay.
Yes. Back to the trailer.
Okay, I would like to break down a couple of things because.
Go ahead. Rock and roll.
We hear voiceover from Luke Skywalker, which is awesome. Everybody is guessing, and this is probably accurate, that the metal hand that gets put on R2-D2 is that's Luke. Luke. In the hood, you never see his face. There's a part where in the voiceover where he's saying, "My father had it," and you see the Vader's mask, and then he's like, "My sister had it."
You see a burnt up, jacked up Vader's mask. Yeah. Like somebody went and got his remains off from the Endor. Pyre on Endor.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yes. And so there's some kind of Sith.
And those lines are from the in exchange with Leia on Endor.
Right. Yes, okay. Exactly. Awesome.
Except for the final
line. Such a good callback. So my sister had it. You see someone handing someone a lightsaber. I think the person accepting the lightsaber is Leia. You never see her face, but she's kind of off screen. I think that's going to be Leia. That's my.
There was some commentary about who's that was Anakin's lightsaber.
Yeah. That's
is that right?
Original. I think it's Anakin's original.
I haven't either.
It looks pretty comparable to that. Like it's the lightsaber that gets chopped off. Mm-hmm. But it's the lightsaber that Luke is holding when he gets his hand chopped off.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We see...
the exact copy of it.
We see images of Kylo Ren. Is that how you say it? Kylo Ren? His face is covered. He's wearing like this mask. You don't know if he needs that to breathe. Or if he's some kind of weird alien, or he's just wearing a mask to be creepy. But that's probably Adam Driver under that
and
mask.
He's most definitely a Sith.
Yeah.
He's got a red lightsaber. He's got all the evocative imagery of being a Sith and being the antagonist.
Are the stormtroopers that we see, are they bad or are they good? What is our Because what if the stormtroopers are like the Republic army?
I don't think the New Republic. Given what I'm assuming, you know, it's 30 years in the future. Everybody's old.
Yeah.
I would not think that a new government, if they are setting up a new government, if the war has really been won.
Yeah.
Against the Empire, then they would embrace the image of the stormtrooper as the troops of the new republic.
That's a good point,
Or the reestablished republic. They would want to wipe the slate clean.
So those guys are definitely bad guys.
There is some kind of imperial military force that still exists.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. They are the rebels now trying to fight. Yeah, that could be the storyline of that. We see a lot of TIE fighters.
We see that
one African American gentleman. I don't know the actor's
name. John Boyega.
Oh, you see him a lot in this trailer. Probably more than anyone else. He clearly is
under duress multiple times.
he's in the stormtrooper outfit
of a lot of duress.
He's in the stormtrooper outfit. You don't know if he actually is a stormtrooper or he's pulling a Luke and Han where he's pretending he's hiding in the midst. Are we sure that the planet seen in the beginning is Tatooine? Because I've heard that it's not. Okay, even though it's like a desert planet, it is not Tatooine.
It is not Tatooine.
And we see Luke might be on that same desert planet, which is interesting. Or he's like camping out, but it looks deserty too.
Yeah.
But
honestly, all the images do nothing to establish plot. To establish really kind of conflict.
Yeah, we're all just making interpretations here.
We are all guessing.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And still so excited.
In contrast to Terminator Genesis, which really lays it out for you.
Exactly.
This is
exactly.
the villain. This is what's going to happen. Yes. This is no. This we is we big, know nothing. We're making.
Yeah. You think that there was the villain was the liquid metal guy, but no.
No.
It's the John Connor villain, yeah, as a new Terminator.
Yeah. Stupid.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that.
No.
The music was amazing. I hear a lot of people griping about Chewbacca not looking old on the internet, but everybody.
Shut up, internet.
But here's what it is: like internet Chewbacca, sucks, the Wookiees, they live their age range is like 600 years.
Oh yeah, no.
So like
in the expanded universe, which I will admit that I've read many books and I've read things about in the expanded universe that no longer exists.
Right.
Wookiees live a very long lifetime.
Well, I think that's canon still. I mean,
they live a very long life.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that is changed.
No, it wouldn't be. But
right.
Yeah. I mean, freaking Yoda's race lives for... Yoda was 900 years old when
right,
he
was supposed to be 900. Yeah, exactly.
He's trained Jedi for 900 years.
The people who are commenting on Chewbacca's age...
Yeah.
You know...
They're just looking. They're just griping.
It's just stupid.
There's lots of like quick shots of explosions and lightsaber slashings and
X-wings flying over things.
X-wings. There's lots of that. Fun
Oscar, fundamental.
Oscar Isaac's really enjoying flying his X-wing.
Yeah, fundamental. He looks like he's kind of a cowboy. Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Like nerve-ending kind of.
Yes.
Yep. Star Wars. Stuff.
Oh, what do we think that stormtrooper with the shiny armor is? Do we have a
That's
guess?
That's a good question. He is wearing, well, the other...
Chromed out.
Right.
Chromed out stormtrooper, but he is wearing a cape.
Yes.
Which can kind of allude to... Perhaps he's a Mandalorian, like Boba Fett, because Boba Fett had a cape.
That's a good guess.
So whether or not there's some of that going on, because the
original... Or maybe it's a Cobra Commander kind of a
he's
situation.
A, right.
He's a leader.
He's a leader, like he's higher up. Right.
He's an elite stormtrooper.
Like an elite stormtrooper.
Maybe he's part of the new stormtrooper imperial regime kind of a thing, and he's like a BA in that regard, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that'd be cool. I like that.
The normal stormtroopers are cannon fodder, right?
But right.
If
he's a little tougher.
If you're juiced up, you got more training, you know, maybe you can respond to...
Different kinds of
lightsaber.
You've
got
infantry.
Something to defend against a lightsaber. You know, shit like that.
So pumped. Okay, so, pumped. So we need to move on. We need to keep going. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Yes. How I felt about Star Wars, I feel kind of like maybe it's, I feel lukewarm about this trailer, to be honest. I feel like it looks way too digitally, and they don't tell you enough. They don't show you. There's half of the trailer is like black screen. For one, and I don't know. What do you guys think of this?
It didn't kind of pique my excitement the way the Star Wars trailer did. Nothing really could, I would think, come to that level in terms of making me excited for the movie. But I don't know. I'm excited for the movie. I will absolutely see it. I am hoping that it's very, very good. The idea of Batman versus Superman and the subtitle Dawn of Justice is that it's launching, you know, the shared universe of the Justice League, and there's more characters that are going to be in it. So it's like, they're setting up more movies, and they're, you know, I honestly, I don't have a problem with Ben Affleck playing Batman. I think he'll do a good job. I'm just, you know, the main conceit of the movie, Batman versus Superman, you know. He's the Man of Steel. He catches satellites. Why would Batman why would he be troubled by Batman in any way?
Yeah, you know? I've always felt that way too, Andrew. It's like, can't he just like fly in and crack his neck? Like if they were
like,
really...
you know, be 10 miles away and shoot him with his super heated eye beams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll never see it coming. Or like he'll just pick him up and throw him into the atmosphere. You're dead. You're dead. You can't fly.
Conflict there.
Yeah.
It's the main kind of concept of the movie is leaving me kind of with more questions than excitement.
The only way he's going to be able to like hold his own is if he's got kryptonite, and that's like the ultimate prop, the ultimate like durr thing with Superman is like, oh no, I'm ultra powerful and all this stuff, but if you get this one thing around me, I'm weak as hell, like my one big weakness. And I think I've always hated that about Superman. It's like that it always resorts to that. It always is like, oh, he's got kryptonite. He's weak now.
I mean, that's the inherent difficulty with Superman. It's freaking boring if he doesn't have some weakness, right?
No. Well,
he's God if he doesn't.
But my point is
humans.
No. My point is that he's so powerful that you need that. But I'm mad that he's so powerful that you need that. You know what I'm saying? Like he should be like Captain America is like tough, but like but if you got one up on him, you could beat him, you know, like you can nuke him and he'd be dead, like, and or like you'd hit him, you shoot a plane down and it would crash and he would die. Superman, that's not going to happen. Like, you drop a nuke on him and he's still going to be there, and that's annoying to me.
I have high hopes for the movie, but I'm cautious too. I am not over the moon excited for that movie.
It's
still a year away. I mean, it doesn't come out until March 2016.
I'm more excited for Ant-Man than I am Batman v Superman, which
I don't know about that.
Silly.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
With the two trailers that I have.
The premise of the Batman Superman movie is far better, because if they do it right, and Batman trusts no one. Of course he'd be inherently distrustful of a superpowered alien.
Of course.
Of course he would figure out any and all of the weaknesses of said alien.
Of course.
And he would bring all that to bear in any confrontation that he had. And so, you know, Batman doesn't have the hubris that Lex Luthor has, right? And so Batman would not... is the right adversary for Superman, frankly, in my mind.
Yeah.
So all of that as a premise is freaking great in my mind. It's just the challenges are inherent in the nature of Superman as a superhero.
Yes.
And overcoming that is the challenge that every person who has ever tried to make a Superman movie has to attempt. And it's tough. It's tough.
It's very tough.
So we'll see. It looks as if they're doing the right approach, which is falling on the heels of the first movie. What would the world's reaction be? People would want to worship him.
Yeah.
You know, all of the above, right? And then there would be the backlash to that, and he's an existential threat. I mean, he's a true existential threat. Batman would react to that. It's like, okay, let's figure this out. And as we know, that suspicion never truly goes away for Batman, right?
No, never.
Never. All Superman would have to do is flip a switch and decide. The only restraint Superman has is his own restraint.
Exactly.
That in by itself makes Batman trust him even less.
Exactly.
All of that is terrific premise. The trailer with some good imagery. I'm not too thrilled about the way bulked up Batman. That one shot, he's way too bulky. But Ben Affleck looks great as Bruce Wayne. I think he can pull it off.
I think you can too. I mean,
so we'll see. We'll see.
It looks. I would like to reiterate that it looks like a black and white movie. They need to color it up a little bit. Just saying.
The color's a little muted for you?
Yes. Rewatch it and think this is black and white.
That's kind of DC theming.
Yeah, they're going all angst all the time.
They are going all angst, which is like, you know, all the Marvel trailers that you're seeing, you know, all this upcoming Avengers stuff and the Ant-Man stuff, it's colorful and beautiful and bright, and they're in the daylight, and everybody's wearing, like, everything's fun and, like, bright colors, and they're poking fun at each other, and this is, like, serious, dark, black and whiteness. It's raining. it's raining all the time. It's like,
it is raining all the time.
Oh, God.
It's like, don't you learn that in film school, dude?
Yeah.
This just is make how it you rain. Set mood.
This is rain, how you set mood.
Rain equals moody.
Moody. Rain equals moody. Okay, good.
They teach you that on, like, day one.
I mean, day
that's,
one.
That's like, isn't that Rain 101?
That's not that.
Isn't there a class? He's like, how do you establish Rain a dark 101? And dreary
yeah, mood? I took Rain 101 2 years ago, so.
There you go.
I'm already past that. All right. We're into happiness.
Downpour 201.
We've been
downpour 20. Light drizzle 337.
Exactly.
All right. So we should probably do our seed red played.
Yeah, we should. We've only been talking for about
40 minutes about trailers. Yes. So Christopher, what you got for scene?
What do I have for scene? I am current on Arrow and Flash and Supernatural. We didn't even freaking talk about this. I binge watched Daredevil, dudes.
Oh no, we gotta talk about that. I haven't watched it yet. Dude, you gotta watch Daredevil, bro.
The weekend it was out, I watched the entire, all 13 episodes. I will touch briefly on Arrow only. Flash continues to be very entertaining. I love that show. Great show.
So fun.
Arrow, I am so sick of this storyline. I have to say, it bums me out because I like the show, but my God, this whole existential storyline for Arrow, I mean, they're laying it on so thick and heavy. It's like, Jesus, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to more of the, hey, I'm a superhero with supreme skills. I want to do things that are cool.
Yeah, he's been dealing with this stuff for a while. Right.
Oh, my God. There's the Arrow.
Yeah.
Driving me crazy.
There needs to be more than that, for sure. I
want
to
see him being a badass with the Arrow.
Yeah.
Bow and Arrow. I want to see him being a badass in some fight scenes. I want to see more this. Oh my God, it's like, oh, the angst. I'm over the angst. I need it
in stark contrast to last season's like final episodes where it was like so good with like what was his name? Deathstroke? Is that what his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. That whole thing was like fantastic, and this is like,
yeah.
Oh, he's threatening the city. The cops have figured it out. Oh,
it's
Shao like
Kool is yeah. named him as a successor.
Right.
And,
well, know. They are kind of like jacking the team up with, you know, Roy leaving and spoiler alert, someone getting stabbed at the end of this episode. And do you think Roy's going to end up on the Atom Firestorm spinoff? That would be interesting for that actor.
As Arsenal?
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
I could see him doing that, doing his own little thing over there.
Anyway, so the main thing, that was my one comment on Arrow, they need to sort of step up their game because they're losing me.
I think it's going to be a good ending. I think you'll be happy hung in there.
I hope so.
I hope.
Daredevil is freaking great. Daredevil is note perfect. They do a great job with that character, his backstory. The fight scenes are awesome. What's his name is fantastic as Kingpin.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Everything about that series works for me. There are some episodes that are definitely better than others, and a couple of the episodes sort of late in the 13, middle late, it sort of drag a little bit because they're sort of teeing up some stuff.
Yeah,
but man, does it pay off! And I really, really enjoyed that show.
I've heard it's pretty adult and violent. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Absolutely. If it was released in theaters, it would be a rated R.
It would be rated R. It's that level. Wow, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's no F-bombs. I think so.
I don't think so.
There's not a whole lot of blood.
Fisk decapitates somebody.
Whoa.
He decapitates someone.
That's true. That scene with the car door was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So possibly, you know, older.
Certainly PG-13.
PG-13.
Yes, there's no nudity. There's no F-bombs that get dropped.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's why today's day and age, I'm skeptical that would get an R.
Violence in movies these days has been sort of like the back burner to, like, if you ever show a boob. Makes no sense. Think about that.
Yeah. One, and you get one F-bomb.
Yeah.
one F-bomb to keep your
You can't be sexual F-bomb. At all, right. But yeah, you can cut people up.
Let's go F-bomb. You can tell someone go F themselves, but you can't say let's go F.
Right.
Yeah, it's so goofball.
That's so stupid. Okay, anyways.
That's my scene.
Good?
Yeah, Daredevil's awesome.
Andrew, what do you have for
me? I binge-watched Daredevil as well. When it was released, I was actually at Disneyland, so I started a little late. But I watched all 13 episodes in 3 days. And I slept and went to work in that amount of time, in those days, too. So I plowed through it. I concur with almost everything Chris said. I think – and it raises another kind of point for me in that – to date, I don't think that any property associated with Marvel, well, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that started with Iron Man, where there has been anything that has felt like a miscast role. Like, can we think of any role where the actor is just wrong for it? And in this TV show, Charlie Cox, who plays Matt Murdock and does Daredevil, he is great. And the guy who plays Foggy Nelson is great.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally
and Vincent D'Onofrio is pitch perfect as Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, and the kind of the backstory. And despite the fact, I mean, and I have to overcome this all the time, but Frank Miller, they base this take of Daredevil on Frank Miller's run of Daredevil when he kind of relaunched the series. I think in the late 80s, maybe even before that, because I kind of hate Frank Miller as a person. But he tells great comic book stories, and this version of Daredevil, don't let the crap Ben Affleck movie fool you. This version of Daredevil is great. It's pitch perfect.
Yep.
Makes me excited for the three other Marvel properties that will be on Netflix that are coming.
Yeah, sure.
Totally excited about those
things. I cannot wait to see Iron Fist on Netflix. I want that character to kick serious ass on Netflix. I can't wait for it.
Yep.
I love that character. I love Danny Rand. I love the whole thing where he's
throw a little bit of money into it, and you can really produce some awesome Kun Lun stuff
and how he got
his powers and all of that.
Well, the fact that – I mean there is a single episode – there's an episode in Daredevil where there is a literally fantastic fight scene that lasts 5 to 6 minutes.
Single shot.
5 to 6 minute fight scene, and the stunt performing is fantastic. I don't know if it's Charlie Cox that does it. He probably not, but it is how they pull it off is fantastic, and it makes me so excited if the same kind of production and all that thought goes into an Iron Fist series. Going to be off the charts, awesome. Huh. So
that's cool. Yeah. I definitely need to go and watch this because
get into it. You will really like it.
All right, good.
Yeah. I'm current with Arrow and Flash also. I have similar reactions to Christopher. I am Game of Thrones is back. Chris didn't.
Oh, Game of Thrones. Yeah.
Season 5 of Game of Thrones premiered.
It was sort of okay, you know, here's where we were. Let's move the ball.
I was a little bit like, I was hoping they were going to get back into it like right away, but it was sort of like, this is where we are. This is the situation episode. Yeah.
No, that was kind of a weird opener, but
a little bit, but it definitely sets up the plots for the coming season. You know,
for sure.
Tyrion and Varys are going. I can't wait to see the Tyrion and Varys show. That's going to be great. Those two on the road together and scenes together all season. Hopefully, that'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
The two smartest and most kind of interesting,
and they just like riff off each other like crazy. Their conversations are definitely the most interesting in the show by far.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to watch.
We're supposed to, tonight's episode is supposed to go to more
to pick up
more
Bravos.
With yeah Aria more Bravos
Aria. Yeah,
and we're gonna see more of the like the Sand Snakes, all that stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna see Dorne.
Dorne, that's like, what it is. That's what I was.
Yeah,
thinking.
So the world is expanding, which I am excited to see how they do it on the HBO series.
Cool,
so.
Cool.
I will say this: I have friends that are fans of A Song of Ice and Fire and are fans of the TV show also, who are avoiding the TV show now because it's caught up with the books and they don't want the plot points to be spoiled for the upcoming
wow.
books because the TV show has caught up on a lot of plots. So they don't want to like lose. They want to keep it for the book rather than watch the TV show.
Wow. All right. Yeah, that's hardcore. The rest hardcore. Of us, 8 million of us, it will watch like the show. Okay.
Exactly.
Because yeah. That's how many the premiere had was 8 million. I read that.
8 million. Yeah. It's crazy.
So that's crazy. I have watched Game of Thrones. I watched Flash and Arrow, just the same as you guys. I do feel the same way. I am still watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., even though it's horrible.
I wouldn't go that far. I watched that too. I'm current with that. It's not horrible, but
the
man,
new
it's not
good.
It's not good.
This is what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for Avengers to drop, and I think that's going to help the show.
Hey, you guys want to know how many days it is until Avengers drops?
You have that?
Yes.
Let's hear that.
You can add anything you want.
Let's hear
Avengers
it.
Avengers drops in 11 days and 7 hours.
11 days, 7 hours. What is this app that you're using?
Countdown.
Countdown.
It's just called Countdown.
And
you can add anything. You can create anything and you add the date.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm going to download this. This sounds awesome.
Yeah. To the show that Brothers Geek is inviting people to in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, Andrew, would you like to invite people on the show who might be listening?
No,
who is not
absolutely anybody who's listening? They may not. If I missed you on Facebook, I apologize. The Brothers Geek is inviting you all to a showing at the Cine Capri on April 30th at 7 p.m. for Avengers: Age of Ultron. We're not buying out the theater. It's not like we have, you know, it's a Brothers Geek exclusive.
Right.
But we are inviting you to come watch the show with us. Christopher and I will be there. Other essential Brothers Geek luminaries will be there.
Luminaries, yes.
Yeah. Patrick will be in Portland. Unfortunately, we don't have the budget to fly him down.
I'll watch it separately at the same night in Portland, and I'll be there in spirit.
Take your partners in crime in Portland, make it a Brothers Geek experience.
I already made like a little invite for myself. So if you're a listener in Portland and you want to come with me, I'm going Thursday night to the Regal near Lloyd Center. Pretty sure there's a 10 o'clock showing that I'm going to is what.
Yeah, the 7 o'clock at Cine Capri in North Scottsdale. It's a Harkins here in Phoenix. So
awesome.
The Brothers Geek's going to be there, and multiple family members. Adria's coming. Other friends or other people we've invited are coming. It's going to be great. We're excited.
So awesome. So awesome.
Yeah. 11 days and 7 hours.
11 days, 7 hours. Wow.
Yep.
That's so great.
Yep.
So excited for that movie. So
yes,
I finished Voyager. I don't know if I said that last episode.
Did not.
I finished Voyager. Pretty weak sauce ending, but I'm glad I'm done with it. So I started Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise. I love that show. I
remember when you lived with me a few years ago, you binged watched Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so good. It hits all the points that you wanted to for Trek. Every gripe that I had about Voyager, I have no gripe with this. It's like every episode they were trying to kill them in Voyager. Every episode here is like, let's be explorers. Let's deal with this issue. Here's some crazy stuff that we don't know what to do with. Oh, the Vulcans are being mean to us. We got to listen to them because there's no Federation yet. Oh. So it's like, it's fun. It's very fun.
And it's got Jonathan Archer, who is the prototypical Kirk.
He is very Kirk-esque. He's extremely Kirk-esque. And Trip Tucker is very like Commander Riker, and like you know, T'Pol is very like Vulcan and Spockish, you know. So it's got
but
all
that
those.
That actress looks fantastic.
In, oh no, she's very suits. She's very not ugly.
Jolene Blaylock is very not
she
ugly.
She gets this week's not ugly award. so there's that. But yeah, that's what I'm doing. Let's move on to some red because I have a bunch.
You should take it then. Red, what do you got?
Well, I've finished Leviathan Wakes, which is so good. I can't stress this enough. This is the most fantastic, fun, dark sci-fi ever. Very, very adult, very like hardcore, very violent, but realistic and interesting and. The characters are fun, and there's crazy stuff happening, and there's so many questions at the end of the book that you're like, well, what the hell? Yeah. So it makes you want to read the next book really badly, but I did not start the next book. I restarted Ready Player One, because one of my friends called me out that I hadn't finished it, and I am about halfway into Ready Player One, and yeah, I don't know why I stopped with that, because it's so good.
Yes.
And it's so entertaining, and there's all these, like, fun 80s elements to that. It's just like a nostalgia romp, and they're making a movie out of this, you know, with Steven Spielberg directing, yeah. So it's like, it's you gotta read it. If you're at all, like, an 80s fan, and you're a geek at all, you need to read this book. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's part of our lore and geek culture is this book now. So, that's what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying those very much. But, Christopher, what do you got for Red?
Patrick, more yes. importantly.
I did not finish. I'm not up to date on Batman Eternal.
Okay. Do you I'm guys make motion to kick Patrick off the podcast?
Second.
There's a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any discussion on the motion?
You need me to record the podcast, so I don't think you guys can kick me off.
Andrew, any discussion on the pending motion?
Patrick's got veto power, so what, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
Just read the freaking comics, dude.
I have damn, all the comics, dude, and I have not read them all.
Just do it.
Okay, I will say this. Like, I remember when you guys were talking about, like, around, like, issue 30 or so, how it kind of waned a little bit. Yes. That's where I'm at, and it's super. It's super tough to get through, and I lost interest in that, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
but I'm gonna keep reading
through the 30s. It's solid.
Okay. Good. I have to
power through that lull.
All right, I will power through for the show. I apologize. Can we wait until next week to talk about that then?
Sure.
So that I'll give me a week. I will get it done. I'm gonna finish in a week.
All right.
Give me a week, and I will have
next
it done.
Next podcast,
I will be done, and we will discuss
Batman Eternal.
Okay, there you go.
All right.
Christopher, what else do you have?
I am listening to Caliban's War.
Oh, two. The second one. Oh.
Yes. It continues to be outstanding. I enjoy it very much. I have so many questions for you.
I can't
totally
ask them.
Different. An interesting take on what is going on with the things that you and I know about.
Yes.
Very entertaining. I'm like probably two-thirds of the way through it and enjoying it very much. So the fate of humanity is still in the balance, Patrick.
Oh, wow. Yes.
This is like Fate of Humanity level drama.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know.
But it's grounded in how would people actually react to this sort of true, what appears to be, some people who are in the know understand that it's a potential threat to
humanity. Yeah, don't reveal a big spoiler of the book now. But the first one is really good.
The fate of humanity is tied to humans being humans.
So humans could be bringing it about.
A lot of their conflict is self-imposed. It's
correct.
But
it's really good. Really good.
So fun to listen to too. It's so fun. Like that voice actor is really good. Listening to all these Audible books, like you really appreciate like a good voice actor. Because the guy who read A Dance with Dragons was terrible, and that made it hard to get through. Or harder. But yeah, this guy's good. So
yep. I continue to read Thor. Thor is outstanding.
Number 7 came out this past
week. Thor versus the Devastator in this number 7.
The Destroyer.
And there's some great fight scene.
Yeah,
scenes cool. In that.
I hear they're gonna release who she is.
The next
issue.
They give some clues. They give some clues as to who it might be. Yes, number 8 appears to be the.
I need to get caught up on those too. Those are so good.
I'm reading all of the Star Wars, except for Kanan. I'm reading all the Star Wars comics. Darth Vader one is my favorite by far.
Cool.
That comic is awesome. But Princess Leia is good, and the mainline one is good. But the Darth Vader one is just it's been great so far. What else? Oh, I got the latest Iron Fist one, but I haven't read it yet. And I'm reading Convergence. I'm just reading the mainline Convergence books. I bought a couple of the tangential ones, but I'm not. I think they're only up to 3. I've only read.
I think they're on issues. 2. They have 0, 1, and 2.
Yeah, maybe that's right. And I've read 0 and 1. I haven't read 2 yet. So
yeah.
That's my read.
Cool. Convergence is the big DC. Event crossover book that they're doing right now. I have picked it up as well. I have read issue 0. I am current with Thor number 7. That is probably is maybe the best book going right now in terms of hitting on all these great notes. The art is fantastic.
Yep.
The voice of all the characters are well drawn and they have great kind of voices and it's got a good amount of humor and a good amount of intelligence. The last panel in the most recent issue, number 7, I won't spoilerize anything, but the fact that there's kind of a the cavalry has arrived moment and who the cavalry is great.
Yes.
You know, looking at that image and seeing like what's coming and. Yeah, I dug that a lot, so I can't wait for issue number 8. Regardless if they reveal who Thor is now, I just think it's a great book. They could just tell stories. Hello? I'm not.
Oh, Christopher, are you still there? Uh-oh. One. Sorry, we got disconnected there. Andrew, what were you saying?
Yeah, no, I was just very excited about Thor number 7, and I don't even need the reveal of who Thor might be to keep me interested in the book. I think the book's great on multiple levels.
I totally support that.
It doesn't need that, eventually we'll get to know who eventually we will. I don't need it immediately to keep me interested. So I will – the creative team is great. Hopefully they stay on it for a while. It's not one of these things where they do, 10 or 12 issues and then it's done.
They've done a nice job of not turning it into a gimmick.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a solid book.
It really feels like a solid book.
Regardless of the female angle.
Yeah, I would hope that this new female Thor stays around for a while, and it's not just, we'll do 12 issues and explore this idea of a female Thor, and then we'll get back to the, Odin's son as the God of Thunder. I'm like, I honestly hope they don't do that. I hope they stick with this for a while. I think because it's a great book.
Yep.
So,
cool.
Yeah, and I am finished. I have finished Batman Eternal, so we can talk about that when Patrick is done.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are going to yell at me, but I am still – I have not finished Dune. I have not read it much in the past week or two, honestly. With everything else, I just haven't been
– Yeah, that's cool.
– keeping up with it. Convergence I am reading as well because I figured I needed to read another DC book, and it's the DC crossover, so it's the event book that's going on, so I've picked up the first few issues of that.
So I'm proposing an idea since you're bringing it up. Batman Eternal is over. We're going to talk about it in detail next week or next time we record, but we need to pick a book for the show.
Yes.
And I think that we should not I don't think we should talk about it now, but we should give it to our listeners. If there's any listeners who have any books that they want us to pick up, they should email us at Brothers Geek Podcast about some ideas for comic books or even like novels that we all should read together. If we'll hopefully we'll get some ideas from them and then we'll come up with something next episode.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea.
So we'll get some ideas.
Your suggestions in email or on the website.
Yeah.
In comments to this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Even tweet at us if you want.
Tweet at us too.
Yes,
yeah.
Tweet at us too.
That will
yes.
be good.
Yeah.
Cool. So I did my red already. You guys did your red. Let's do some played.
Let's do some played.
Andrew, what do you have for played?
Amazingly, I've been playing some Destiny.
Surprising. Wow.
Stunned by that.
Right? The big thing that kind of happened this weekend, you know, I've been kind
big
of...
Big trailer. Yeah.
Well, a big trailer, you know, House of Wolves is going to be dropped, which is the next expansion. That's coming May 19th. And they released some details about that. There's going to be new story missions, new quests. There is not going to be a new raid with House of Wolves.
I've heard a lot of people are griping about that.
But the others, I have two, and the other, because they want their, you know, the hardcore guys, they want their end game content. They want to be level 34 or whatever the level cap's going to be. They want to be the guys with the raid gear, because they're, guys like that just drive me insane. It's like, I gotta have the best gear in the game. I can't not have the best gear in the game. I gotta have the hard mode Crota.
Well,
you know,
and the raids in this game have been the best content by far.
Yeah.
Like the story missions and the quests have been kind of lackluster. And the raid content has always been the best. And so when they say that they're not going to put it in there, then what are you paying for the $15? Like, okay,
I'm with you. No, I could see that argument absolutely. The most significant maybe reveal is the fact that they're going to open up new areas.
Right.
The reef is now going to become a playable area with the missions. Because I mean, we've been on the moon, we've been on Earth, we've been on Venus and Mars, and I know all of those planets like the back of my hand now because I've played them so much. It'll be kind of cool to see a new area that could be played. So.
Yeah,
that'll be fun because
cool.
I mean the environments in this game are fantastic. Say what you can say what you want, but the environments of this game are wonderful. So having a new environment to play in will be a lot of fun. So, and I got my on a roll with the Cryptarch. I got a new exotic weapon just the other day, so that was cool. Just to get an exotic and not have to.
It was Patience and Time, right? The sniper rifle.
Yeah, Patience and Sniper
Rifle.
It's
a really good sniper rifle. I don't know if you have the Icebreaker, but those two are definitely like.
I don't honestly like to run sniper rifles that much.
You're a shotgun person, right?
And that thing is badass.
Yeah, it is.
The cool perk about Patience and Time is that when you are aimed down the sight, you become invisible for a certain amount of time. So, hello?
Sorry.
No kidding.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no. I'm sorry, I heard dog barking, so you guys dropped out. One of the unique perk with Patience and Time is when you have it equipped and you aim down the sight, you have active camouflage. So that's kind of cool.
That's good for PvP.
It's a really good PvP gun. Yeah.
It is good, and I wish I played PvP. I might have to play more. That's an aspect of the game that I don't get into. So that was cool. And I got it on a roll. I was just patrolling and I got a drop of a legendary engram. I'm like, oh, cool, legendary engram. And it turned out to be an
exotic. This is the
problem
with that. This is the problem with the annoying. Destiny is very annoying because you don't nearly get it. RNG is terrible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's terrible.
Yeah. It's so inconsistent. And there's no way for people who put in the time.
Yeah.
To eventually get the thing they want.
Yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
Yep. But yeah, no, and oh, and I when I was in Disney a couple weekends ago, there is a ride at Disney California Adventure called Midway Mania, where you're on a chair, and it's basically an arcade game where you go through this track, and it's set in the Toy Story universe, and you shoot things.
It's like laser sights and
laser sight. And that was really fun. Actually, and the gameplay is pretty cool. So it was a fun little. And the car that I was on, I got the high score. So that was fun.
Good job.
Yeah.
Hello,
Patrick.
Sorry.
Were
my
you
dog
just
was
kicking your dog out of the room.
No, my dog was not in my room, and I had to go yell at him. I apologize, listeners.
That's right, real life. This podcast is keeping it real.
Real. Yes.
We don't have studios. We're not recording in a studio.
No, we're professionals.
Yeah, we are absolutely professionals.
Anyways, Christopher, what do you have for played?
I have Ori and the Blind Forest, which is a phenomenal game.
You continue to play that, huh? That's awesome.
Yes. It is a platformer extraordinaire. It is so fun and freaking hard.
How many hours do you think you have total in this game?
Oh, so far?
Yeah.
Probably 20.
Nice.
Wow, that's good for a platformer.
Yeah, really, it is.
And I'm not halfway done.
And you're not burnt down on it either.
No.
That's cool.
It's hard. It's hard. But but I want to keep. I'm going to keep playing it because it's fun. When you get past a certain point, it's so satisfying when you figure out. Okay, I got to do all of these things in sequence. I have to pause like two locations. I have to pause, and the jumps have to be perfect. And I have to be in sequence, and I gotta miss this flame ball that's going, and then I have to jump on top of the. Anyway, the trial and error involved is difficult to say the least. I have died hundreds of times, but it's very fun. I the look of it is awesome. I enjoyed a lot. I started season 3 in Diablo 3 started this last week. And so I started a character in season 3. For those of you who don't know, the seasons in Diablo 3 are at the beginning of the season is a complete restart of you create a character that is a seasonal character and it is as if it's a 100% brand new character. You have no access to your account gold. You have no access to any of your account's gear. You have no access to any of your account's leveling up of vendors. You have nothing. Your character is zero. And then you level that character up all the way to 70, and then you try to get gear and gold and do all the things that a normal brand new character would do. At the end of the season, all of that the seasonal characters, gold, gear, everything else, transfers to your account. So I started a brand new seasonal character this past week, and I have been leveling him up. It is a monk. And I have been enjoying it very much. So that's been my primary game playing.
Cool.
Oh, I should mention since the last podcast that there was a free-to-play game downloadable on Xbox One, which I downloaded and played. And that was Forza Horizon 2 Fast and Furious.
Okay.
It was essentially... A sub game but it's a standalone downloadable game for free that is gameplay all about collecting all the cars in Furious 7.
That's cool. Awesome.
And so you get a taste of the gameplay of Forza Horizon 2, which I don't have, but I'm very tempted to play now, actually buy and play.
It's an open world driving game. So you're driving around on these roads and in cities that are in this European town that's on the Mediterranean in France. And you know, a lot of missions and stuff like that. But the Furious 7 game is various missions to collect all of the cars that are actually in the movie. So it was actually a really well done, you know, movie tie-in game, and for free, it was it's an incredible game for free. It was fun to play, and I played the hell out of that and got all the cars and had a good time.
How much gameplay was it for free? Like, how many hours do you think?
It was a lot. I mean, you probably do it all in one sitting, maybe. If you're playing the whole thing, maybe 3 hours.
Okay.
Still,
maybe
not bad for some.
But that's like powering through.
Yeah.
Every story mission to get every car. And there are side quests and other things you can do and other like bucket list kind of stuff that they label as, oh, you should try and get this car and you should do this. So there's a bunch of other side stuff. You know, it's not a full fledged game. But you know, for free, it was freaking crazy.
Cool.
So yeah, it was good.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like fun. I saw Furious 7, and we didn't really talk about that because it's not really geeky. No. But did you guys hear that passed the billion mark?
$1 billion.
It's made a billion.
Top 10 worldwide gross film ever now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like number 7 or 8 now.
I found that movie entertaining and ridiculous all at the same time.
Yes. Me too.
That's about right.
And very emotional at the end with the Paul Walker.
That was well done. The Paul Walker thing was well done.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting. Played for Patrick. Okay, I have two things. I have restarted playing Dragon Age Inquisition again. I'm playing.
I saw you playing that the other day. I was online and you were playing that.
Yeah, I'm playing the solo stuff now. I never really got that deep in it before, but I restarted a ranger character, which I really like. I always like the stealthy range archer kind of a characters. And I'm enjoying that very much. It's scratching that itch for me of you know, leveling up and customizing your character and like running around, and like there's the world is huge, and from what I've heard about this game, there's like over 150 hours of gameplay. Like,
whoa.
So there's potentially a lot of, and the story's really interesting so far. There's a lot of cool stuff going on, so I'm enjoying that so far. But it's very like new for me. I'm only a few hours in, and in a you know, RPG like this, that's nothing. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'll keep playing it. Yeah, that's that. And then I played a board game called Smash Up. This is a card game. It's 2 to 4 players. That's interesting because most board games are 3 players. So this is, I played with one other person, and it was my first time playing, but she was very familiar with this game. You have like two, like you pick 2 decks out of your hand, and then you shuffle those 2 decks together, and each deck has a theme. So it's like my 2 decks were aliens and robots. And they're all the decks are like geek related themes. So there's like dinosaurs, and there's like ninjas, and there's plants, there's like zombies, there's crazy unicorns, there's
Is there ninja unicorns?
Well, that's the point of the game. So you could take the ninja deck. You take the ninja deck and you take the unicorns and then smash them together and you shuffle them and then you draw cards and then each card has like a different like ability that you play to unicorn try to like dinosaur. Fight the other person and gain points.
Interesting.
And so like they're doing the same thing though too to you. So they're trying to like get points by fighting you, and they're trying to like stop
Is
you
it a
from
rock,
getting
rock paper scissors kind of thing where the dinosaur takes out the ninja.
Kind of like that, where it's like you they have abilities that can fight each other, but not necessarily like this defeats that. It's sort of like, oh, this I'm playing this card, and this is going to make that card that you just did go back into your hand, or you have to discard it. And sort of, it's sort of like that kind of resistance.
Speaking of board games, Patrick, I have to tell you guys, I was very tempted, and I still think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to buy the Dungeon Master's Guide, the Player's Handbook, and the Monster Manual for the latest edition of Dungeons and Dragons.
Do it,
heck yeah, dude!
Let's.
Because I was looking at those at Samurai, and I'm like, dude, this I need to look at these again.
What do you guys? If you guys go and buy those, we should start a Brothers Geek campaign.
I agree.
You be the dungeon master.
I'd be willing to do that. I would be willing to do that.
We'll do a dungeon master, and we'll do like a special episode, like once a month, where we do that.
A segment on it every episode.
We really got into it.
Okay, we're gonna do. We need to do that, and I think that would be fantastic. To
anyway, sorry, that's non sequitur. But
no, I totally think
I almost bought them all the other day, so I think I'll buy them from Samurai or I'll get them.
Like all this RPG stuff, all this board game stuff, all this like Dungeons and Dragons stuff. It's all like Ready Player One, and Ready Player One is just like so steeped in that, and it's like. So I don't know, like if I'm totally
character
feeling that
character creation alone would be fun.
Character creation alone would be so much fun. Yeah. No, I'm totally down with that. Go buy that, Christopher.
All right.
Anyways, that's all I had. I really enjoyed the game, and I really like that it's two player because it's really tough to find. And there are tons of expansions for this game. Countless cards that you can get.
Say the game again.
Smash Up. So it's fun that it's two player. It's pretty simple, but it's
has it been on?
It can be challenged. It has not been on tabletop.
Okay.
It was a good time, and I rather enjoyed it. That's it for me. Played Andrew, what do you have for trivia for us this week?
For trivia,
if anything,
I do have something, jackass.
Why wouldn't he?
For trivia today. Because I've been thinking about it, and I've been anxiously awaiting Book 6 in the A Song of Ice and Fire. I want you gentlemen to tell me, plus or minus 100, what is the total number of pages that have been published in the Song of Ice and Fire
Plus or minus 100?
The five books that have been published,
uh-huh.
What is the total number of pages?
Hardcover
books.
Dude, it's got to be thousands. Like,
hold on.
Got to be.
Doing the math.
Hold on. Let me...
There's five total, right?
There have been five total, yes.
I'm going to... Plus or minus... Yeah. It's going to be 5,836. That's my guess.
5,836.
My guess is 4,000.
Christopher is the closest.
Oh,
the total number of pages is 4,206.
Oh! You missed it.
You were so close. Oh my god.
Very close.
I highballed it cuz those books are ridiculously long.
this is according to Wikipedia, and looking at the Audible times, it's just ridiculous.
Didn't they publish a little book piece of the book online? Did you guys hear about that?
Oh yeah, no, they really George R. R. Martin released a chapter from it's a Sansa point of view chapter. She is still in the Eyrie, and she is living undercover, which is different from the book. In the book, she is known by several people. The only person in the Eyrie who knows who she is Littlefinger.
He's the only one who knows. In the show, she's told a few people.
Yeah, like the hierarchy of the Kingdom of Mountain and Vale.
Exactly.
Kind of know who she is. And they're allying with her a little bit. Uh-huh. But yeah, no. So that was a quite a good chapter, actually. It had Sansa's voice is actually pretty interesting for me. I know people deride her a lot, but I like Sansa's chapter. She's
coming into her own.
Her character is.
This is an opportunity for her to sort of. She's got power.
Well, yeah. the two Stark sisters are going in these weird directions where, like, one is being like shown the world through a murderer's eyes. You know, the Hound. And then this season going into like her training to be like a crazy person, like an assassin and
a faceless man.
And Sansa is going in the direction of like this political being trained by Littlefinger, liar, manipulator, you know? And so like, they're really, you know,
yeah. People love
Arya
because she's spunky and, you know, she's on this quest for revenge, and Sansa's just been trying to survive, and she's been this perpetual victim or whatever. People deride her for that, but I disagree with that analysis of Sansa's character. I think she has shown a lot of strength in the books to try to survive what she has.
Mm-hmm. She's got to be all kinds of screwed up with the stuff that she's seen and done.
Totally.
And yeah. So I hope that they can bring that out a little bit in the show. So
it adds, you know, fuel to the fire. I want this next damn book. I want the Winds of
Winter.
Dude,
you got to wait at least till next summer.
Yeah, no. The chatter is next summer.
That's appalling.
It is appalling.
Okay.
If he dies, if he pulls a Robert Jordan,
he's not going to die.
Himself. He said that he put a blog post himself and called it pulling a Robert Jordan. So if I don't want, he can't pull. Seriously. I'm very invested in this.
Somebody needs to go over to his house and like give him some like good vegetables and vitamins and
he needs to be going on daily walks.
Daily walks
prepare yourself. It's gonna happen, dude.
Christopher knows the pain of Robert Jordan.
I don't have. Yeah.
They will finish it. They will finish these books without him because there's so much money.
Hey, no,
we're
not wishing any ill. We want
there's no ill. There's no ill.
Yes, we want him to finish.
We want him to finish.
Please.
Yes, please.
Please just finish. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. You should definitely email us about all kinds of things, including what we should read next at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at brothers_geek@twitter.com.
Don't forget, we need suggestions on what we should read.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the boys should read next.
Totally.
Yep.
You should visit the website, brothersgeek.com, for all your podcast and geek discussion thingies.
More content coming up on the site soon.
More content coming, always. And, that's it, brothers. Thanks for the show.
Boys, brothers.
Remember? What do I
It's a special one, this episode.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Han, of course. Han shot first. And he's coming home!
He's coming home!
He's coming home!
Yes!